Hold on to your butts, it's time for a new episode of Destroy All Culture, a sonic death ray from Dimension X that sounds exactly like a weekly podcast hosted by Adam P. Nave and Aiden Morgan. Exposure to Destroy All Culture is 100% fatal, so we put it on the internet. Now listen and die! Lethal effects may take up to 75 years. And here we are at episode 67 of Destroy All Culture with Aiden Morgan and me, Adam P. Nave.
As always.
As always.
As never. That doesn't make sense.
So, first things first. Last week, we both made a big show of our plan to rewatch the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy movie, and neither one of us actually got around to it.
I watched the opening credits with the whole dancing dolphin sequence.
You know, but we'll try again for next week. Next week's gonna be a little odd. This whole week is weird for me, but we'll get there.
We'll get there one way or another.
One way or another. But really, we can start with something. We'll get to the old stuff later. Legend of Tomorrow ended its second season, and I feel like we need to talk about this desperately.
Do you know that finale? It was so good that it wasn't even a Legends of Tomorrow show anymore. It was just a show.
That's never gonna die.
I know, and I'm the one who won't let it die. I know.
Yeah, no, and I'm fine with this. While watching the episode, I will admit I did say like this is kind of what I want. Like this is where the show lives. Like all the CW shows, we've talked about this kind of briefly at least a few times now, I'm sure. Where you know the shows all have their little corner. You know, Arrow's the grim, gritty show.
Right.
Flash's kind of the traditional superhero show.
Supergirl's got the sunny optimism thing going down.
Right. And yeah. Legends is batshit crazy.
Yeah. And I think this episode definitely fulfilled the batshit crazy quotient for pretty much for the season.
It did. I had one weird issue.
What's that?
So the whole point of getting the spear was to rewrite things in various ways, right?
Right.
And specifically for, like, Cold and Reverse Flash, it was to write the fact that they didn't die.
Mm-hmm.
And yet in the first part of this, we're shown that Zoom, for some reason, has Reverse Flash, has the Flash death thing locked up, which makes no sense, because right. It shouldn't exist.
Yes.
And then in this part, it was acted as if that didn't even happen, and it was just he was fine.
Although it didn't I think it was just done for the payoff of having sort of the Black Rider or whatever they're calling show up. What's that? Black Flash. Is Black Rider a thing? I mean, I know it's
yes.
a Tom Waits.
Yeah, the Kirby. Well, no, that's
yeah. That's right. Yeah, it's the Kirby. It's the Kirby version of the Grim Reaper. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway. I think they just did it so there'd be like so that the payoff at the end with Black Flash showing up and grabbing Reverse Flash.
Well, and here's the thing is that when Sarah rewrites things just to do that, does she write things so that he did die and that now the Black Flash is looking for him again, or did she just make him escape? But this is my right. It's like it just doesn't quite add up.
It doesn't. But it was a satisfying way for Reverse Flash to get
sure. His own. Yeah. I mean, it was that fun kind of batshit, like, this makes no sense if you look at it for 10 minutes, just keep enjoying the stupidity.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the fun of it.
I think the entire sort of final sequence in which, like, all of the future legends get killed off, and you're watching, you're like, I don't know which legend I'm looking at here. Who cares? Let's just keep watching
right.
them. You know, let's just watch them all get killed off, and, like, you know. And at no point was it ever sort of... There's an episode of Buffy which you haven't seen. I'm betting called The Wish, in which Cordelia creates this alternate universe, accidentally, in which Buffy never came to Sunnydale, and it's a vampire ruled dystopia.
Sure.
And in that episode, Buffy does show up. She's in Cleveland, She shows up in Sunnydale and ends up getting killed at the end. And it's pretty heartbreaking because you see this broken person who never got a chance to be a good person, you know, like a real person, having their life ended cruelly. And it's an emotional impact. I did not get any emotional impacts from the deaths of the future legends, except perhaps for future Sarah sort of dissolving at the end and delivering, you know, a Goonies line, which is pretty great.
It's the show has never really earned any of its attempts at emotional payoff.
Yeah, and I'm not sure it always. So far, I don't think it's mattered very much.
No,
it hasn't. I understand, you know, Mick and Snart's tortured relationship and so on. I don't care too much.
Right.
I'm fine. I also realized that I didn't quite realize that until now, that I always thought of Legends as an ensemble show, but I think this episode showed that Sarah Lance is the main character.
Well, I think that she's the captain in a way that, you know, the first season was Rip Hunter's journey.
Right.
Oh. And this season was kind of Sarah's journey.
Oh, you totally called Rip Hunter. You totally called what happened with him. Because you sort of said, when we spoke previously, that he would sort of say, well, here's where I get off, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I think he's going to be in the next season.
Mm-hmm. But not as a regular.
I think actually as a regular.
Oh.
From what I've heard, it is one of these problems where they don't really know what to do with him now.
Right.
Which is fair. I enjoy the show. It's fun. It's stupid.
It's like the littlest hobo, though, at the end there. He's like, well, my work.
There are just so many, like, dumb choices that just make absolutely no sense to me.
Oh, yes.
We've erased the Atom from history, but we still have his suit.
Right. Of course.
I'm not quite sure how that works.
Yeah, I think the spear was just a kind of like, let's do whatever we want. It was just like a complete. It just gave the writers complete sort of blank check, you know, blank slate, so they could just say whatever they wanted and had no regard for any rules.
Which isn't. There are any number of ways to have done that that would have worked and made coherent sense.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to what they did, which was just, as you point out, just kind of random.
Yeah. It felt like they just decided to change things, and then when they had to look at the massive inconsistencies and silliness, they were like,
whatever, it's time.
It's time. Timey-wimey, as they say. This also reminded me more of a Doctor Who episode than any other Legends so far, I think.
Well, I feel that is all Moffat's fault. It reminds you probably specifically of Moffat, who would be going to go backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards, you know.
Yeah, well, no, that's exactly it. Yeah, it's full of Moffat's timey-wimey games.
But not as smart as his.
Not as smart. No, that's true.
I did appreciate the let's grow the ship, as we're watching it, and both me and Leslie are sitting there going like, not an indoor toy, not a thing.
I guess the Wave Rider can punch through the roof of Star Labs. Why not?
Oh, well, sure, of course you can. I have no issue with that, but it was just unnecessary.
Oh, yes, of course.
Except we had an extra $10 left in the budget pool for the season, so let's do it.
Exactly. And you wanted a scene where Mick Rory grabs the Wave Rider and goes, look at the tiny man. I mean, that was worth any amount of silliness surrounding it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad they only had a couple of scenes with the Wave Rider as basically an RC toy, because that would have gotten old really quickly.
Yes. I mean, part of me thinks that should have been season 3. It's they all just have to hold on to the ship as it goes through time.
Right, tiny
and just Rip Hunter. Right, and then just we have just tiny Rip Hunter for the entire season. They couldn't have done it. There's no way they could have done it.
See, that would have been good. You either have it in for a scene, or you have the entire season of tiny Rip.
Yeah, just because it just would have been, again, just stupid in that right way.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that would have worked really well. And it also gave us the great sort of moment with Rip Hunter going, "Fire everything you've got," and having
it be Damien nothing.
Dark,
yeah.
Going, "Oh, that's adorable." That was pretty good.
So yeah, Legends, whatever. I don't know.
I do. I wonder.
They're going to have to explain next season. Oh, yeah. Sorry. You're wondering if
I'm wondering whether they're what they're going to do with the whole sort of dinosaur ridden Los Angeles. Whether they're going to fix it up right away. Smallville. Like Smallville was always really bad for like bringing in something you think is going to change the status quo completely at the end of a season, and then just like within 5 minutes of the season opener, just fixing the problem. I'm like,
yeah,
oh,
I don't
here's,
know. I mean,
here's Bizarro Superman. Oh, now he's gone. Okay.
So. I feel like Legends is going to have to kind of go like, oh, well, there have been time quakes all over that have caused this sort of thing.
Right.
Because they are also going to have to explain very quickly why this hasn't affected the other shows.
Ah, yes. That's a good
point. So, I don't know. I mean, again, I think you can get away with it in terms of, well, whatever, you know, here's what happened in L.A., and then but on the other hand, you also risk the boredom of, well, we have dinosaurs in L.A., and then we go to Los Angeles, and it's future weapons, and then we go over here. It's like, okay, you get like 3 episodes of that.
Yeah.
And that's really all you need.
Although I think it would be really fun if they had, if they had dinosaurs in all the other shows, just inexplicably.
That would be great. Yeah.
We've got to get to Star Labs. Well, you run Flash. I'm going to ride my dinosaur.
What I think they should do is, in terms of like what do you do with like Rip and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I think what they do is they go, well, we do need Time Masters. Like, this has been the problem. And so we have, like, Rip being like, oh, I'm going to go off and kind of, you're going to be my main agents, and I'm going to go restart the Time Masters.
Oh, yes.
And he's going to get that promotion so he can come in on any episode and, like, call them and just be like, go here. You know what I mean? Just give him a role that doesn't need him on the ship every week.
But can actually
fix the overall problem, which is what they spent the second season doing badly.
Right. Yes, exactly.
And then we can slowly, like, you know, find another title, like, whatever. We can find other characters that can become new Time Masters, like in the DC tradition of the Time Masters, rather than the TV version of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they can get all that.
I'm glad they didn't cancel the show after the first season, though, because that finale was pretty much worth it.
Yeah, no, again, I think it's a fun show. It is in terms of structure, it's probably the weakest of them.
Oh God, yes.
But when it lets itself just be silly and we're just going to have fun and don't worry about it, it's a great show.
Precisely. I think you've summed up Legends of Tomorrow perfectly.
Yeah, thank you. We also had a bunch of returning stuff this week, and because we're getting into that April season, you know, Sci-Fi announced that Dark Matter is starting. I know we need to always like Dark Matter, but Dark Matter starting in like early June.
Huh. That gives me time to watch the last few episodes of season 2.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
And it's on Netflix, so I can do it sometime while washing dishes or whatever it is I do when I'm not watching television.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember like what the times on these are, because it's like it's a little weird.
Do we have a...
There we go. Dark Matter's back on June 9th. Killjoys is June 30th.
Oh, I was just going to say. Is there indeed a date for Killjoys? And there is.
Yeah, it's later. Now, what's weird is that, like, I was hearing that Wynonna Earp is the same on the 9th.
Hmm.
It'll be like Dark Matter and then Wynonna Earp. But then I saw something that said that Winona Earp had like a 2-hour premiere on the 15th of April, so I don't know what the hell.
What the heck? No,
knows. But yeah, anyway, Dark Matter and Winona Earp, according to Sci-Fi, get a couple weeks head start on Killjoys, which makes sense because they're both usually 13-episode seasons, and Killjoys is only a 10-episode season.
Yep.
So this way they can all end at the same time instead of having to double up on stuff.
Cool. Yeah, I've seen.
So at some point, it seems like there'll be a 3-show Friday thing with all 3 of those shows.
Cool. Sorry. I saw a trailer for Winona Earp, and it looks pretty damn glorious.
So I was a little confused. You know, there was that week with, and this is just one of those scheduling things. There was that week with Powerless where it was supposed to be on and I couldn't find it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it said it was airing, but, like, I couldn't find any proof that it was airing. I couldn't find it on TV, nothing. And now it seems like I'm a week behind, but I can't find any proof that, like, the other week has happened outside of other people mentioning episodes. Because, like, the latest episode I saw was... I don't know if you're still watching it, but like this week, I was told it was supposed to be the Natalie Morales episode, the first one with her.
Oh, yes.
Which would be episode 8.
Oh, this is confusing now.
But episode 7, which is the company retreat, is what aired this week, except other people apparently saw episode 8.
Somehow you've been, like, you're stuck in this weird pocket of time.
Well, but, like, even if I Google, like, because you know how you can Google, like, you know, like, a show and episodes?
Yes.
And the word episodes, and you'll get the list?
Yes.
When I Google Powerless episodes, it shows me that April 6th was episode 7.
Well, people are just lying to you. There's a massive conspiracy to screw with you.
But again, like, you know, there's a review here from a day ago of episode 7.
There we go.
And which is the one I saw. I don't know what's going on. I'm very confused.
So I'm a few episodes behind on Powerless now. I think the last one I saw might have been 4. So I've got a few to, I mean, they're short, so they're easy to watch.
Yeah.
But how is it going?
Not great.
Oh well.
It's the same. I mean, so far, you know, I'm 7 episodes in at least. It's pretty much the same show it has been. It's gotten a little firmer in what it's doing. It's sort of, I don't know. At least in the last couple of episodes, it's kind of moved into quirky office comedy with like superhero-y elements.
Fair enough.
We're gonna go on a corporate retreat, but then we get stuck at the office, and this is normal.
Right.
But then we get in an office lockdown because of this, like, you know, gas that, like, this truth gas that'll eventually kill you. And then, like, you know. And so, it's sort of half of one, half of another, and that's a good place for it to live if they can work out the rest of it. And I'm hoping that Natalie Morales in the show will help.
Hmm. Yeah. No, I'm up, like, that's actually hearing that Natalie Morales is going to be on it. It gives me renewed interest in the show.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, because, I mean, they always kind of mentioned, they'd mentioned fairly early on, before casting, that they were going to have this hero and all this, but at the beginning, if you remember, it was all about Crimson Fox, and then they used her, like, twice.
Yeah.
And now suddenly it's, you know, Fire, although she'll be, at least initially, I'm sure they have a reason for this, they're going to be referring to her by her old code name in the comics. She was the Green Fury for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the Green Flame, I think. And then eventually just Fire. So I'm sure they'll play with that as, like, you know, she needs some sort of rebranding or whatever. And is upset by it. But
maybe it'll be a plot point for an episode.
Right, I'm fairly sure. But, yeah, it feels like they kind of replaced the character, and I don't know exactly why.
Well, I mean, that show went through so many contortions in its, you know, in its arrival to the screen.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll never actually know what happened there.
That's right.
There'll and that's fine, because I don't really care.
Exactly. We're just going to leave.
There's, like, that little teeny bit of curiosity. Like, I kind of wonder. It's like, but I really don't. I'm sorry. I could not care less.
Your book on Powerless is How I Started Not Giving a Shit and Came to Not Give a Shit. At all.
Right. Like, yeah, I'm not in a new place.
My journey was powerless from apathy to indifference.
But yeah, no, the scheduling thing just drives me nuts. Cause, like I said, I saw people who were talking about like how great the episode was, and I'm like, but I didn't see her in this episode. Mm. And then I realized that they were talking about like next week's episode. I'm like, what?
How are they doing this?
What fresh hell is this? And I mean, I'm glad it's a show I don't really care about.
Hmm.
Because that would be really confusing. This is just like, whatever. You know, like if it was like The Grinder, I'd be upset.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe it's a cable provider thing. Maybe it's a side of country thing. Maybe I'm just imagining it. I don't know. I do not know anymore. But yeah, that happened. So anyway, in June we have a bunch of stuff coming back. This week and next week, however, this last week we had S.H.I.E.L.D. come back, we had iZombie come back, we had Archer come back,
and Archer.
The 15th is Doctor Who coming back.
Right. Now, I have not seen Archer. I've heard good things about this.
I don't want to ruin the setup except that they play it straight.
Excellent.
It's done as like a gag.
Oh.
So much as it's just done. And so it actually works really well because it becomes satire and a real attempt at doing like a quirky archery version of this thing. Instead of, look at us, we're doing this, haha, you know what I mean?
Oh, excuse me, I had to mute for a moment there. Yep. I'll sneeze you. I don't actually know if my mute button even works, so maybe you just heard me like sneeze. Oh, good. So now there's a technical issue out of the way.
Anyway.
So yes. Anyway. So yes. S.H.I.E.L.D.
S.H.I.E.L.D. came back.
I have to say I thoroughly enjoyed this dystopian Hydra run S.H.I.E.L.D. world.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting thing. I of course thought it was really interesting in relation to the comics because of one scene, and they did this years ago too in the S.H.I.E.L.D. Which is, over in the comics, they keep going, no, Hydra aren't Nazis, because they're having the whole Cap as a Hydra agent thing. Right. And they're like, no, we're not saying he's a Nazi. Because in the comics, technically, there's this one comic that goes, Hydra's been around for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
And see, so they kind of align themselves sort of with the Nazis at one point, but they really weren't Nazis. Except, of course, we all know that Hydra is Nazis. And... And the show has always just been like, "What fuck you? They're Nazis." And I kind of love it, especially in the like I said, in the middle of this controversy coming back in the comics. S.H.I.E.L.D. went out of its way to have like 3 minutes of, "Yeah, I get your bullshit." Still Nazis.
Yeah, no, that was pretty
which
great.
Which was amazing. Like I said, like with a greater context, I was just, "What the hell just happened?"
Bingo. Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. And I just love the sort of Gemma Simmons sort of like little, and Hydra, they're Nazis. It's like,
and again, the comics can be different. I'm not, you know.
Yeah, I was thinking of the larger political context, of course. Although the one thing that sort of I thought was funny about that scene that sort of didn't necessarily take me out of that scene, I was like, so they're running a bit of code here with that likes to like spray paint. it's like a little bit of rebellious code running around in this virtual world.
Right, but I mean, it makes sense. It's like, if you're going to build the whole world, it works.
Oh, sure. I mean, and they address it several times within the show.
Yeah.
Which actually I thought was, the way they did it was really smart, where they're basically sort of saying, I can't believe it. I mean, I know this isn't real, but we're still just as like trapped and just as fearful, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. I will say that when they're like, yeah, we should go and then come back and figure it out, and they grab the button, I'm like, that ain't going to work.
Exactly.
And then, of course, it doesn't work because if it did, it's way too easy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I also did like the Coulson, like the first time when Gemma confronts Coulson, and just going, it's a magical place, and just it worked really well. Like it was actually a really weirdly like tense. You're not sure which way they're gonna go. Like the actor wise, like the two of them sold that.
Oh, they really did. Yes.
And her reasoning is dead on. Like, no, your brain's been messed with before. It's fighting. And then we find out that it is, of course, because it's Coulson. Like, you have to bring him in.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you also can't have six episodes of the two of them just fighting alone and doing nothing. Like, you need the walls start to crumble.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, precisely. Yeah, they need to. Just at least having Coulson on their side is I think the best
well,
possible.
We still haven't brought in Mac.
Yep.
You know, we have Coulson, so like I can feel where it's going to be one of these things of the last two people they get, and maybe they even don't get to their side. We have to deal with that next season if there is one. Is May and Fitz because that causes the most disruption to the team as a whole. And I'm going to say something I didn't think I would ever say. Right now, I trust them. I trust them to pull this off. They've earned it this year.
Those are bold words coming from.
I'm just saying that they've had their this is their third little pot of the season. The other two have worked out really well for them, and they've shown that they've figured out the pacing of this.
Very much. This is actually finally. My seal of approval is these episodes actually feel like they have some like rewatchability.
Yeah.
Like I would actually think like I would sit down again and like watch a couple of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Just to see what other nuances exist. Whereas in previous seasons, I'd be like, nope, that's good. Watch once, I'm fine. Yeah, next thing, please. But this actually feels like something with a little bit of staying power, which is nice. I also love they got lots of little details in that episode too. The fact that Daisy is now Sky and that she's got the long hair from the first season back. Just little. At one point they kind of pointed out, but it helps to sort of. And they give you enough backstory and context to make you feel that you know what's going on. Even if you hadn't watched previous seasons, you could probably still be on board with this and not be too lost.
Right. I also did like the mention of, like, huh, no smartphones and there's only one paper. Like...
Yes.
It's an important weird move.
Yes.
That if this had happened back when it would have happened, you know, Hydra never would have let things like smartphones happen.
Exactly.
If they could prevent it. You know, yeah.
Yeah, it's a well thought out. They took some time to think out what the world would look like.
And of course the other twist was from any number of ways that aren't under their control was telegraphed really, really hard. And I don't blame them for it. There's nothing they could have done. But the Ward thing.
Oh yes.
You know, it's the okay, well he's always a traitor. Down to, well, if this is like a topsy-turvy world, what else are they going to do?
Right. Yeah.
It was so obvious that they were going to pull the trigger, and I appreciate that they pulled it instantly.
Yeah, I agree. Because as soon as he said, I need some space, and there are things you wouldn't like about me, I'm like, oh, I get it. He's a double agent to this world, too. Yeah, it was quite clear. And to their credit, they didn't, like you say, they did it instantly. They didn't pretend that this was a suspenseful reveal. I mean, it was a good reveal, but I mean, they didn't pretend that it was like, oh, you'll never guess this. And they, even by sort of lampshading it with Gemma's sort of like, of course, you're still a weasel in this world, which I thought was quite good. Yeah, and Natasha Henstridge really, really sold everything. And Ian de Kestiger plays an evil bastard so incredibly well.
He does. It's interesting, like, having him see, like, over the years, having him, like, get some good range.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but his sort of, like, imperious, sort of Nazi-esque bureaucrat figure is just fantastic.
I'm going to say something a little strange, but bear with me.
No.
I kind of want him, too bad. I want him, I want him in a Fast and the Furious movie.
That is a little weird, but okay, I can see this.
Like, either as, like, the smarmy, like, nerd bad guy.
Yes.
Or as, like, you know, like, a new guy, like, on their side, who's still, like, their new smarmy, like, you know, just, like, that kind of weird nerd role that that they kind of need sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't know why, just, like, came in a suit being, like, it's like, Goldeneye, what's his face?
Oh, God, you say Goldeneye, I'm like, James Bond? Yes. That's all I remember about Goldeneye. I remember it was good. I haven't played it in a while. Oh wait, no. You know what was good was the video game.
It's true.
Yeah.
But like Alan Cumming and GoldenEye.
Oh right.
Yeah, that's kind of the role I see him in.
Oh yeah. Okay, I get you.
That's all I'm saying. I'm thinking about the new Fast Food because I get to go see it on Thursday. So. Friday.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
So it was a strong return for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes. And a stronger return for iZombie, I would argue.
Yes.
Because iZombie is a fantastic show.
It is, and they didn't... It was funny, I was... Because you never know how they're going to deal with... Because season two, the finale was a potential game changer with the reveal of sort of the zombie army.
Right.
Or the zombie paramilitary. And you think, well, either they're going to... Well, I knew they wouldn't sort of pull a reset, because you can't, like, iZombie will commit to this. But it means that it's the structure of the show would be quite different. Like, just would no longer be as episodic. There would still be that element of, like, what personality of the week was Liv's brain.
Well, see, and that's because I think there'll still be a case of the week as well. It's just going to change what the case of the week is.
Right.
Because now it'll be, like, zombies being killed.
Yes, exactly.
So I don't think they're actually going to change. I was actually relating it to somebody else. It's like person of interest.
Mm-hmm.
We're always going to have that case of the week, but also they've always had a big structure going on. It's never really been episodic.
Exactly.
So.
That still reminds me of like one of my very favorite moments from Person of Interest. I think in which Harold is kidnapped. It's that's the season two opener, Reese starts chasing down clues and realizes that the machine has actually given him a case of the week instead of rescuing Finch. And it's like this machine is like, nope, that's not the kind of show you think you're in.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like,
but I think for iZombie, I think it's a huge important step forward right now.
Oh, I agree.
Getting every one of the main characters on board.
Mm-hmm.
Is a good bit of timing. They've inched towards that since like the second episode, and as always, Major has the worst luck of anyone alive. I like that they haven't backed down from that. Poor Major. It's a hell of an opener, because we have a whole different show that's still exactly the same show.
Yeah.
So if you like season two, you'll love this. If you've never seen any, it's actually a decent point to come in.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely.
I also hear there will be someone from iZombie showing up in an episode of Supergirl soon.
Really?
Yeah. A certain doctor.
A certain... Oh, really?
Yep. Royal Coley will be showing up as a journalist, apparently, for an episode.
Oh, cool.
I just like seeing him and stuff.
I agree.
Yeah. So that happened. And then I watched some Iron Fist.
Iron Fist. Not to be confused with Iron Man.
No, never to be confused with Iron Man.
Because every attempt to put Iron Man on screen has been entertaining.
Yeah. Well, to different degrees, but yes.
To different degrees. I mean, Iron Man 2 had its issues.
But
I would rather watch Iron Man 2 while being kicked in the stomach than watch all of Iron Fist.
Okay, I'm going to be honest with you. Now, I have problems with Iron Fist. I think they should not have cast a white guy. I like the actor they cast to a certain degree. I think he's wrong for this. Obviously, there are very public discussions about what went wrong with all the fight scenes.
Mm, yes.
They very publicly did not have enough time to prep them or rehearse them.
Jones has actually said, I would be getting the fight choreography 15 minutes before shooting, which obviously is not
and
nearly enough time to actually do proper fights for television.
Mm. But for all that, and the fact that... Is Ward Meacham the son or the father?
Ward whatever. Is the
Meacham the Younger.
Meacham the Younger. That's Ward.
Looks kind of like a melted Justin Long doll.
I didn't notice that until you said it to me, and I was like, oh, now that's all I can see.
It's all I can see.
It's like melted Justin Long, and it's. I've now in the eighth episode, and he's pretty much emerged as the most interesting character on the whole show.
That's correct. I've only seen three.
Yeah.
I've only seen three episodes, and I'll tell you, I found a way to enjoy it. I have found my way in.
With alcohol? Okay. I'm listening.
Okay. If you assume that Danny Rand got lost when he was like 11 or 12,
mm-hmm.
right? And it was then raised as this monk, blah, blah, blah. But never had any sort of social anything. And we see, even in the third episode, you see a bit of that, where it's like,
yeah.
he's just this, you know, all he did was get beaten with sticks. And told he has this great destiny, and that was really it.
So, yeah, it's kind of messed him up and made him unsuitable for New York social life.
Well,
yeah.
But that socially and sort of emotionally, he is still a 12-year-old?
Mm-hmm.
No, if you take it from there,
yeah.
everything he does makes perfect sense.
Actually, if you... the best moments in Iron Fist, at least for Danny Rand's character, are very much grounded in that. That he's kind of a kid who's never grown up, and is Peter Pan perhaps, and now he's come back and has to deal with like the adult world, and he has no idea how.
Right.
But you know that he can like you know beat up like a room full of bad guys, but he can't even sort of manage to put his like feelings in check for a moment, or you know. Or explain in an adult fashion that he is Danny Rand and he has come back. Like he's completely unequipped for any of that. So I agree. I think that you've hit on the key to his character. It's not always done very well in Iron Fist, but when it is done, it makes for much better viewing.
There's also I have one weird issue, and maybe this gets resolved, but in the second episode, you see Colleen Wing. Get like you know we think like followed and then like attacked and all this. It turns out they're her students,
right?
And she starts berating them. I'm sorry. Is she training them how to mug people?
that's
what it felt like. It really did feel like her mugger school.
Yeah, that's it. It is a little odd for, and I'm not sure if it's. Gets resolved, but there's more stuff comes out about Colleen Wing that makes that make more sense.
Okay.
She has a particular kind of mission in the show, and it's I don't think this it's always developed or explained very well, but yeah, having turning her class into like urban ninja warriors might fit in with that.
That's fine. It was just—it really did feel like their specific goal was like how to mug people. It was a little weird. I mean, I like their version of Colleen so far.
Me too. I think Jessica Henwick is. I think she has a kind of charisma that.
I want to see her and Misty, you know, become daughters of the dragon.
Yeah. Well, she actually introduces herself. I
saw that
in
the third episode.
Scene.
Yeah.
As a daughter of the dragon. So there's that is hinted at.
And can I be just kind of a nerd nitpicky moment?
You can have an Olympic moment.
I'm kind of disappointed in the Iron Fist effect.
You mean just the glowing hand?
Yeah, the internal glowing hand, it kind of works, I guess, but I sort of miss like it being, you know, like glowing like externally too. Like there's something about that
mm-hmm.
that just makes it feel way more dangerous.
Fair enough.
Do you know what I mean? And like I get that, like right now it's like still hard for him because he's new and whatever,
right?
But yeah, it's not the best effect.
It's okay. I don't mind it. But yeah, maybe an external glow would lend more sort of menace and power to the man's fist. Yeah, it's actually surprising how rarely it gets used in the show, and it's I understand you want to sort of keep your big. use your big effect, you know, hold it back for dramatic moments. But it's sort of like it's kind of what he does. But and he always has some sort of like, oh, I can't center my chi. Like, just right. Center your chi and punch that guy, please. Come on.
Yeah, no, and I have been at least so far just chalking it up to he's new.
Yeah.
That we're coming in at the beginning, you know, instead of like the fun years.
I think that's it. I think that's our best thing. Yeah. And I think a good way to like is the character, I mean, as the 12-year-old, I just thought of him as just completely naive. Like, it makes sense that, like, if he's showing up, like, barefoot and in a poncho, that the Meachums are going to be like, no, dude, we don't know who you are, but you're clearly a crazy person, you know, pretending to be, you know, our old friend Danny.
That's... Right, and then, like, every time that they're like, we're going to send someone after you, and then you're going to come after us and threaten us, and then we're going to send someone after you. Like, he doesn't seem to... And that's the other thing, is that bringing Carrie Moss, just even the third episode, made everyone else look bad?
I know. Yeah.
Except for you know, Colleen, like, that's the problem, just because she's so much of a better actress.
Yeah.
She has a much better, more natural handle on the material.
Yeah, it seems she's brought her the character that she's already discovered over from the other shows, over from Jessica Jones. So now it actually makes more sense. And the same thing you'll see in subsequent episodes with Rosario Dawson.
Oh, like, well, I'm sure.
I mean, and there's literally a scene in which she pulls up a chair and eats food, like just like somebody, like, you know, shoveling back popcorn to watch the action. And she's got this smirk on her face, like, can you get this sort of like, can you get a load of all this bullshit? And it's so good because
her character at this point would be totally like, can you get a load of this bullshit?
Oh, I know. Because at some point she's like, at some point they mention the hand, and she's like, ugh. Not those people again.
Right.
It's good. And she has like some serious reactions, like, you know, they killed my friend. They basically, I don't have a job anymore. They ruined my life because of their bullshit. But it's also at the same time she's like, oh my god, those stupid ninjas. I thought that was pretty good.
Mm. I did find it a little interesting. Because they try to connect all the shows and all this, and obviously they couldn't do this, but, you know, the minute Rand was like, oh, well, they've been attacking me and whatever, that Hogarth wasn't just like, okay, so I have this PI who could be your bodyguard.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's...
Right.
But again, the problem is that at this point especially, like, Danny is such an idiot, like, you bring in Jessica Jones and he would have just been brained. So you want to not do it.
Exactly.
But yeah, I think if we keep it in mind that, you know, Danny has emotion like 12, I think it'll go a lot smoother. It's still not great.
Yeah.
It's the so far the weakest thing I think that they've done. At least three episodes in.
Yeah. I don't think it gets... I mean, like I say, I'm only midway through episode 8, and it's still... I mean, it is just... weaker. And some critic pointed out or sort of characterized it as this. It's like most of the Marvel Netflix shows, they start strong, they hit like a wall, you know, about two-thirds of the way through.
Yeah.
Around episode 8. And then they sort of pick up again. I found like around episode 10 for Luke Cage. Definitely around 10 for Jessica Jones. But they said with this, it's like it started at that draggy point.
Right.
I'm like, well, maybe if this is the, you know, we've got like Daredevil, you know, Daredevil, Jones, Cage, then we've got Iron Fist and Defenders. Maybe on like this larger level, this is how it's going to work. That this is the draggy portion of the Marvel Netflix show.
Maybe.
So,
Well, you know, they started filming Jessica Jones season 2. I think they're filming Punisher, which I don't really give a shit about.
You know, I'll probably watch it.
I might. I don't really think I care. But yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's a thing. It happened.
It was a thing. It did happen.
Oh,
and it's going to keep
it,
on. Yeah, it's going to keep on happening.
It's kind of my like go-to. I have nothing else to watch right now.
Mm-hmm.
Until it's done, you know. Like, lots of them, like, oh, hey, let's go watch another episode of Iron Fist, you know. It's like, well, got nothing else to watch right this second. Might as well.
Yep. Hey, Mom, I know you're coming to town. I barely ever see you, but I've really got this episode of Iron Fist to watch. So too bad.
I'm just saying, like, when, like, Cage or Jessica Jones started, like, and actually, I said this to Leslie when we were watching the first episode of Iron Fist. I actually turned to it was like 15, 20 minutes into the episode. And I was like, you know how, like, all the Marvel Netflix shows, like, really, like, start really strong and immerse you in a world and give you, like, a great setting and make you really interested in things, like, in, like, the first, like, half even of the first episode?
Oh, yeah.
And you just kind of looked at me, I was like, so this decided not to do that, you know?
This went a different way. Yeah, you know, here
this looks like that's what they'll be expecting.
Exactly, that's right. Let's fool them all by giving them something borderline unwatchable. How's that sound? All right. Here at Marvel, we pride ourselves on delivering quality entertainment. So we decided to do something different with Iron Fist.
Yeah.
And it's a shame because I really enjoyed, like, the Immortal Iron Fist comics. You know, so this could have been, and as you say, I mean, the casting in this day and age really is quite blind. They could have easily had, like, an Asian Danny Rand, or even a half Asian Danny Rand. You know,
well, they could have even done one of the female Iron Fists, like that.
Oh my God! Yes. Yeah, that's true.
And not that they have to. You know, it's not a anything other than, let's be honest, all these characters, you know, and like not Jessica Jones, but like all these other characters were created in a different time. Iron Fist and Power Man, you know, Luke Cage specifically were created during the, you know, look, Bruce Lee is really hot, like, right now, let's do, like, a martial arts character, and also blaxploitation films are doing really well, so let's do that.
Exactly.
And that's what they were.
Yeah.
And we know better now, like, there's no reason not to update this shit where we can. Not that you have to change everything. Again, like, with Cage, they didn't change everything at all. Mm-hmm. They just made it work.
Yes.
Which is certainly a way to go. That's an option, you know, hey, do it right. That's perfectly valid. But with Iron Fist, I think there were so many other routes they could have gone that it kind of hurts.
Yeah, exactly. They could have made it good. And they never have a real point of view with Iron Fist. I think that's the thing, is that they didn't develop the character and they never sort of got that.
There's nothing to say.
Yeah, I mean, Luke Cage is, I mean, you feel like with Luke Cage, there's something to say about, you know, it's about Harlem, it's about, you know, race relations in America, it's about a lot of things.
Right, it's about the stereotype of the you know, strong, powerful, angry black man, and, like, how America deals with that.
Exactly.
You know, Daredevil was all about the legality of it, and frankly, it's all tied up in you know, being a good Christian, and also wanting to be a vigilante, like, all those weird problems.
But yeah, come exactly.
On, you know, Catholic guilt.
And Jessica Jones, which remember when we were both sort of worried about the Kilgrave being the main focus of the Jessica
right.
Jones,
and instead they owned it.
Yeah, exactly, and they did it beautifully.
Right.
But
Iron Fist has nothing to say.
Yeah, that's
and again,
true.
Like I love, you know, the Brubaker Fraction, like 16 issues along with, like, the specials and all this. Their run on Immortal Iron Fist, which redefined the character for comics. Mm-hmm. In so many important ways, you know, brings in the other immortal warriors, starts calling him the Immortal Iron Fist for the first time.
Right.
Because it's a badge of office, it's not a person. Brings in some other old Iron Fists, you know, like his grandfather, Randall,
yep.
Who has learned to use and channel the chi to charge bullets.
Oh, nice.
So he's basically shooting, like, Iron Fist-level bullets, which is, like, such a great pulp hero move, it's not even funny.
Oh, I know, yeah. I don't know if you could even do that on a television show. It would just be, like, just too much. It's so comic booky and pulpy.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And again, you gotta remember, like, in the comics, and you've read them, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, because there's this moment where if you've been reading Marvel stuff for a long time, you know Iron Fist, you know, like the old Power Man and Iron Fist book, which had a great... You know, I mean, it had a number of great fun runs, but of course, I think the Chris Priest run ended it. It was probably my favorite for a lot of reasons. But it was always, you know, it was always just this one hand, always his right hand. He focuses all his chi in his right hand and he punches.
Mm-hmm, that's right, yeah.
And, you know, like, occasionally there's, like, a kick. Like, he'll figure out how to do that. And then the middle of, like, a one-on-one, he meets, you know, Randall, and it's just like, okay, well, I can do this with bullets. And, like, there's this other Iron Fist, this female Iron Fist that did it with arrows.
Right.
And it doesn't have to just be this fit. Like, you're taking it too literally. And then he figures out how to do it, and suddenly it's like both hands start going, and you're like, shit just got fucked up. And they sell that. They're like, you feel like, oh, shit just got fucked up. And it's a great reaction to the comics, you know? It really does sell. But in terms of, like, here's a story, here's what we're trying to say outside of let's have fun with Kung Fu Billionaire, they didn't have any, because there is nothing.
Right.
And you can give Iron Fist, you know, a point of view and a thing, but there's no baked in, like, baseline, you can take this character and this is always going to be the thing that you start with. It doesn't exist, and I don't think the Netflix show went far enough to figure it out.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And there's no real... There's no real point for that. Like, he kind of exists. I think you're absolutely right with the series, you know, that overall there's the slump is Iron Fist, because he is just a transition point.
Yep, exactly.
And if that's all he is, that's fine. You know, it's like, if we watch like a couple hours of boring-ish, you know, whatever, Kung Fu Billionaire. Sorry, it's how Fraction Emberbaker used to describe Iron Fist, was Kung Fu Billionaire. Well, down to the whole thing of, like, you know, he owned a bunch of, you know, abandoned buildings in New York that he would use as ways to get around.
Right. Yes.
And it's like, that's so stupid. Like, do something with the buildings. You're an idiot. There's always that level of Iron Fist.
Well, that is amusing. I think Iron Fist wants to be a few things. It wants to be like a boardroom drama. As you've probably noticed, right. There's a bit of that already. But it doesn't seem to understand, like, it feels like the writers have never been in a boardroom before, but they've just sort of watched shows. Like, there's this whole scene, I don't know if we've got there by the third episode, in which Danny is sort of, you know, he's completely upset by some heartless business decision made by the board, and it's not that heartless. It kind of makes sense what they're talking about, but when he sort of questions it, they just go, "That's just not the way things are done." I'm like, no, you can actually explain this to Danny Rand in a way that would make sense instead of just hand waving, it's just not the way things are done, and turning into like these caricatures of you know, Wall Street businessmen from, you know, a different era practically.
Right.
It was really, really bizarre. I'm like, all you had to do was like just a couple of different lines that would just make this work a little better, but okay, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand why they'd be condescending to Rand, because, you know.
Sure.
But it just came off really. It felt like the writers just did not have any idea. They never got. It was all first draft writing. I think that was it. It all feels like a first pass.
I think the fight scene thing tells us, because again, let us start with this: that no one sets out to make a bad show.
Exactly.
No one gives anything but their all that they can give. Mm-hmm. You know, like even pretty much like the worst movie you've ever seen. People tried.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I never say, like, people go, lazy writing. I never say that.
I don't think it was lazy. I think that they had no time.
Precisely. Yeah.
And that's it. Like, they keep telling us they had no time in subtle ways. You know, either just telling us that we had no time for the fight scenes. It's like, yeah, but you mean more than the fight scenes, don't you?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just trying. Somebody's trying to call me, and I'm ignoring the call.
How dare they?
How dare? It's just my accountant probably phoning with my tax info. So who cares?
No,
I don't even think about it. Anyway, that's me. That's me crying like a baby.
Yeah.
But exactly, there just wasn't that time, So it just never came together in the way that it should have. But yeah, like you, I am going to finish Iron Fist at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we can sort of talk about our updated feelings and impressions as the show goes on.
You know, whenever we want. I mean, again, it's, you know, Doctor Who's going back soon, so.
Oh, yes. So there'll be
plenty. There was a weird rumor There's a guy who like has had a bunch of rumors before and been right, and whenever this happens, you know, suddenly everyone starts taking everything they say right, and that's always a danger.
Right.
But one of the interesting ones was that when they hit the 60th anniversary soon, you know, in like another like four or five years. I forget when that would be.
Soon. Very soon. I think who knows? If you're looking it up, that would be great. But
I'm trying to. Yeah, it's 2023.
Okay. Only 6 years. Okay.
Right, and that like they're saying that like the BBC already internally plans to just end Doctor Who forever right there.
I do not think they are.
I'm like, yeah, that's hysterical.
What's our most popular show? Doctor Who. Let's kill it off. Good call.
I mean, they've done it before.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. They have shuttered Doctor Who. And they have probably, at times, they've probably taken popular shows and gotten, you know, canceled them.
Right, if it gets too expensive and all that. Like, I could see them going, we're going to go to the 60th, we're going to take a few years off.
Yeah.
But, you know, I could see them canceling the show and just being like, we're done. But I cannot imagine that, you know, should the BBC still exist, that the show will not be back in some form or another eventually. Like, it might not be in our lifetime, because it was 18 years last time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might just happily just take 20 years off.
why not? They've done it before. Right. They can do it again.
But eventually, Doctor Who will be back. I cannot see that show vanishing forever.
Yeah, neither can I.
I just thought it was funny.
Yes. I'm actually really looking forward to this this season. Even though the show doesn't have the same urgency for me, I mean, I have to admit that like last season had some of the best Doctor Who episodes of its run. So the creative spark, even if people want to criticize Moffat, he still does some great work on that show.
And it wasn't the Christmas special.
It was not the Christmas special.
But that doesn't mean that, you know, he can't do a great episode again. So
exactly. And I'm sure that he has a few more left in him. Given Chris Chibnall's other output, I'm not entirely looking forward to it, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Like I don't like, I'm not a big fan of the episodes that he's a credited writer on, and I'm not a huge fan of a lot of, I believe he's Broadchurch as well. I like the first season, but the second season was just pretty real mess. Right. And there's like this thread of sentimentality that runs through his stuff that I'm not a fan of.
I mean, I also do figure that when they hit the 60th, we'll get whoever is around to come back.
Oh.
For a special.
Yes. That'd be cool.
But anyway, we're hitting the hour mark.
Yeah.
You know, next week, like, so we'll hopefully be able to talk Doctor Who. We might not. We'll see what happens. There'll be more iZombie. Maybe we'll get to watch Hitchhiker's Guide, and I will have seen at least the Fate of the Furious.
Oh yes, I might try and watch that. I also really want to watch Life. Okay. I don't know if I want to see it like to pay full money for it. But it seems like such like a second-run theater kind of movie.
Kind of does. I've also been hearing really good things about Colossal.
Oh, well, it's Nacho Vigalondo. And I don't know if you've ever watched his other movies, Time Crimes and Extraterrestrial, but he has this incredibly clever formula that he seems to have like come out of the gate with, which is basically to take high-concept science fiction. In Time Crimes, it's time travel. In Extraterrestrial, it's an alien invasion, but just end up focusing on like two or three people who are really shitty people and really funny about being shitty. And that's like Extraterrestrial. I think like the whole thing is there's alien ships over the cities, but the entire thing takes place in an apartment complex where a woman is trying to cover up the fact that she's like cheated on her boyfriend, and it's just the whole thing is hilarious.
Yeah, and Colossal sounds like the same sort of formula. So that looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to Colossal.
Yeah.
And there's another... Oh, and the anime Your Name is coming out.
I have heard good things.
I have heard good things, and I'm really looking forward to seeing that.
So, yeah,
I'm also looking forward to the live-action remake with white people.
Ba-dum-bum-tch. Yeah, well.
And if you haven't seen Ghost in the Shell yet, and I know you never will.
Yeah, please don't. just do yourself a favor.
What if I told you that it was so good that it wasn't even an adaptation of an anime anymore?
I would not believe you.
You're right. Yeah. You're
mostly
you're
because you use the word "so good."
Yeah, you've seen through my gambit by now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. No, I'm sorry. You have failed.
I have failed. I've also failed to because I was working at a conference for most of the week and on the road. I have also failed to update my equals column this week. But we will be getting a new one, and it will either be Luis Guzman or Adamant, one of the two.
They are not the same person.
They're not the same person, which is the most fascinating thing for me, because in The Equalizer, the whole episode trades on the idea that they are the same person. No, it doesn't.
Cool.
That's complete nonsense, but that would be fun.
All right.
Anyway. Are we done? Are we done for the hour?
I think that we are. Sorry, I just got hit by something. So we will play some music.